It's XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Political Roundtable tonight talking about the Trump administration's first 100 days. My guests are Maria Rosman. She is news director for Telemundo DC, Dr. Greg Carr, chair of Afro-American Studies at Howard University, and Brandon Cooper, chair of the Prince George's County Republican Central Committee. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Back to the phone lines. Yolanda calling from Bowie. Quickly, what's on your mind?
Yes, I thought that I don't think he's done anything for the first 100 days to actually help the people that he claimed to that he's trying to help. I think he's done more to make the country more divided than anything else. I feel that it is an embarrassment that he was actually elected. How he won the Electoral College is an embarrassment to this country. That's how I feel. And we will see it within the next 4 years whether or not he is actually good for this country. If anything, the only good that's come out of it is that more people are more interested in government and how it works and how to fix what's going on right now.
Interesting. Yolanda, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Richard, calling from D.C., thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I'd like to say, first of all, hi, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. Go right ahead.
I'd like to say, playing off what the young lady just said, I think most people are caught up on politics now and know how politics work, at least most people. I mean, you had a person, Donald Trump, come in running as president and moved all of the politicians out the way. That says a lot. To be the president, I think people realize now that presidency is just personality. You got an individual that was on TV, Ronald Reagan on TV. Obama was a great personality. They are not the people that's making decisions, okay? They're only the far front, only the voice piece. Hmm. And if you look at the most disrespected president in Obama, then all of a sudden you get Donald Trump, who disrespects everybody, and now they're talking nukes. Hmm. They're sending nukes.
Okay.
I mean, all you got to do is look at it. It's a role play.
Okay.
And if you can't see that, something's wrong.
Richard, thank you so much. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. April calling from Laurel. Thanks for calling, April. What's on your mind?
I just want to say that I give the Trump presidency, the first 100 days, a big fat F. He's a joke. He's a snake oil salesman. He has conned his way into the White House. And I don't understand. The Republicans run all three branches. Why can't he get anything done?
Okay. Interesting point. April, thanks so much. Go right ahead.
I got two parts to that. One, he's not a career politician, but more importantly, he's not a Republican. He turned Republican 3 years ago for being a Democrat, and so he's getting used to the party, and the party's getting used to him. And so that's one thing people forget.
But wait a minute. If he's not... Okay, now hold on.
No, I mean,
if he's not a Republican, what is he?
Let me take it back.
He's Trump.
Come on now. Even Republicans said it again. He took the Republican nomination. He defeated the Bush family. He defeated 16 other Republicans in the nomination. But
a little help from his friend Vladimir.
Just 4 years ago, he was donating to Democrats and stuff like that. So he is a unique creature of himself. He is the Republican president. He is, you know, the president of the United States. But to that point, he's not a career politician, and he's getting used to the Republican Party just like they're getting used to him. He's a grifter.
Yeah, I think that we're all getting used to this new situation because I think it's not a matter of a problem of being Republican or being Democrat. He is his own creation. I think he's own person. And Yolanda said before, you know, one of the things is this country is very divided. And one of the promises that Trump made is that he was going to unite the country. And he's not doing that. He's failing miserably at that. And a country that is divided is a country where we all lose, no matter if you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat. And I feel that in this case, Trump is only looking at his own interests and people are following him still. But we are losing. in this. And we need, I guess, we all care very much for this country. Mm-hmm. We all care about America, and we need to make this country move forward and move on, because this 100 days, we're seeing a lot of things are not happening. And, you know, like very, very rash decisions, if anything.
Absolutely. April, thank you so much. What happened to the wall? Did it come tumbling down? I mean, first of all, Mexico was going to pay for the wall, and then Mexico was going to pay for the wall later.
You heard
El Chapo.
Yeah, exactly.
Is going to pay
exactly.
for the
El Chapo is going to pay for the wall,
Cruz.
Right?
That's what Ted Cruz said. That's what Senator
Brett,
Ted Cruz said.
If he escapes again, right?
No.
Actually, Senator
right.
Ted Cruz proposed
that's exactly right.
to actually finance the walls. No, well, actually, not with actually El Chapo, he has a huge wealth. He said, I think it's the second wealthiest man in the world.
They were like $14 billion.
They want to use that money going to build the wall. But obviously, Mexico is saying like we're going to use the money for something. It's going to be from Mexico.
Yeah, Mexico needs that money more than the United States.
I mean, come on. I mean, but the simple fact of the matter is that, as you say, Donald Trump is not a Republican or Democratic. He's a fake billionaire grifter, and the Republican Party isn't unified. So, you know, think about this. Now the Freedom Caucus is saying that they will support this health care legislation. That means that the health care legislation has been stripped of any benefit to poor people. Now, what that means is, of course, if they get it through the House, it goes over to the Senate, and then those Senate Republicans are going to have some choices to make. The Republican Party, you know, is branded, they're not unified, and they've got a grifter sitting on top, and all they're doing is hoping that they can push this man enough so they can get him to sign some stuff that they want. But, of course, you know, the question is, will he implode before they can get something done? That's really the question.
Neither
so
party
that's another promise. Drain the swamp?
He filled the swamp. First of all, this isn't an episode of The Apprentice. I mean, Richard laid it out. You know, you put your brother, your son-in-law, and your daughter in official jobs, and not only that, they haven't divested from any of their businesses. He says, "I'm the president. I don't have to." Fine, but your children do if they're working in the federal government. And so, I think the beautiful question posed to Ivanka by the German woman over, you know, the other day was, "Are you here representing your father, the country, or your business?" And she can't answer that question.
Again, this is I like this idea.
Oh, not the business, but you haven't divested.
History starts today. I love this idea that history starts today. He is not the first
in history, brother. You in law school? Is it legal for her to
do Democrat? John F. Kennedy had his brother's attorney general. This is not the first time that any president. So stop making it seem like this.
Let's compare that to the Kennedys.
No, I'm saying
let's compare it to the Kennedys.
Hold on, let Brandon finish. Go ahead, make
it. So this idea that this is something remarkable. Oh my God, never happened before. If I had family and I was in a position of power, I would definitely have them around me as well too.
Did the Kennedys own a hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue that they were having diplomats staying?
You said earlier that
the comparison, brother. Make the comparison.
The comparison I'm saying is
comparison
I'm saying is that you said earlier, just moments ago, that because Trump has his sons and daughters in positions of that somehow is unshady.
And no qualifications for the job.
Shady. No.
You said that was kind of shady.
Qualifications for the job.
Right. Exactly. No qualification. I think Robert Kennedy had a lottery from the University of Virginia. But I'm not saying that even that was appropriate. But I'm saying, what if the Kennedys had owned a hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue? And what if Robert Kennedy had a clothing line that he was going to? What if Robert Kennedy was traveling around the world doing business for the Kennedy? Now, in other words, forget just the family relationship. These two, Jared and Ivanka, are in. First of all, Jared, through his real estate company, is in the trough for tens of millions of dollars
to
banks.
History did not start yesterday. It is not the first.
Yeah,
president
but,
to be
here's,
a billionaire,
but here's
billionaire.
The thing: we're
not, the first president
on,
or
Brandon,
official
Brandon,
to receive
Brandon.
Money while in office. Man. Come on,
Brandon. Because here's I think here is the critical point.
They're breaking the
law. We're not comparing in this discussion Donald Trump to President Obama or the Kennedys. Or to Bush. We are talking about a president, and indeed, when he was a candidate, a man who made certain definitive promises. Yes, all politicians break their promises, but these are things, you know, that I'm talking about the things that he has within his control. His taxes. That has got to. That's a political sin.
Come on, brother.
But again, to her point, when she said earlier, whether it's relevant or if it's a distraction to the issues, how it impacts us. Yes, he says he releases taxes. We've done with the audit. Apparently, this is the longest audit in U.S. history. But
it doesn't. But we know that the IRS said you don't have to. So as a Republican, do you want to see his taxes?
I don't think his taxes have any impact on my life. So no, I don't care about. I care about my taxes, not about his. I don't.
Which is why
it makes for good political talk,
but it may make good political talk. Which is why, if his taxes are not a big deal, Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, another billionaire, said yesterday the president is not going to release his taxes. Trump has talked about transparency.
Right.
His parents were not glassblowers. We can't see through them. It's opaque.
I mean, it's just a question of, I don't think, it may be relevant, it may not be relevant, but he promised he was going to do it. So, carry on.
Yeah. I think it's entirely, if for no other reason than his taxes will tell us where he's getting his money from. He's not going to release his taxes because what that will reveal is that he's entangled in so many conflicts of interest. And remember now, he's got, you know, he's got two sons who are traveling with on our tax dollars. Every time they go out of the country, they're getting traveled our tax dollars. He's maintaining, forget the taxes for a moment. Let's look at the fact that he's going to Mar-a-Lago. He's been there 8 or 9 times. That means, now, every president usually has two residences.
Actually, it's closer to 20.
Yeah, about 18 or somewhere around there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, guess what then? He's about to spend more money in 1 year in, what,
he already
100
has,
days?
I think he already has.
Right? Yeah. But here's the thing. Nobody begrudges a president one residence outside the White House. He's got two. And the State Department, until they took it down a few days ago, had basically an advertisement for Mar-a-Lago on the webpage. This stuff's indefensible.
And I'm not defending. I'm just saying again. When it talks about black education, this doesn't have impacts on it. His taxes do not impact what's going on in my life or the life of people in my family or people in my community. So I think it makes for good political discussion. It's good that the Democrats are using it to attack him and distract, as you said earlier. But why don't we talk about the issues that are impacting us as a community?
All right, well, let's talk about one issue in particular. Yeah. Let's talk about education and Betsy DeVos. Let's talk about sending private loan collectors out to beat up on people with student loans. Let's talk about her rolling back so many of the regulations that are enabling people to pay for the cost of college and higher education. Let's talk about her attempting to privatize public education. Let's talk about a woman who should have nothing, who should be nowhere near the Secretary of Education, whose blood brother founded Blackwater, the private security firm that is now in the running for government contracts. Let's talk about grifting at the highest levels in this country. Let's talk about Betsy DeVos.
So because Betsy DeVos is in office, that's the reason that, you know, 40% of our children are not graduating high school.
Specific
things.
Yeah, I mean, and you keep talking about the history. We're talking about the here and the now. And
we're about here
and
now, too.
And I will say this. This is why the tax situation is important. And this is why it impacts African-Americans and every other person who pledges allegiance to the flag. This is about the image of the United States of America. And like Richard Nixon said on that podium years ago, well, the American people want to know if their president is a crook. And that is what the taxes are about.
I think there's something illegal in the taxes. That's what you're asserting.
I'm saying that there could be a massive conflict of interest,
doesn't matter anymore. That's the question, because the last polls show that Americans don't believe that President Trump is an honest person.
That's right.
And it seems that they're okay with it.
During the campaign. I mean, two worst candidates ever run for office, Clinton and Trump. I mean, according to the polls.
Well, here's the problem. When a man has a credit rating that is so difficult for him to finance what he wants to do in places like Atlantic City, that he has to go out and basically pay gangster interest rates or find people that will loan him money that may be rather unsavory, then you're not going to release your taxes because you don't want people to know who you owe. And who owes you? The problem with his financials is they will reveal just how deeply entangled Donald Trump is with some of these folks. And then Michael Flynn becomes very interesting. Then it isn't just a casual trip to Russia. Then Rex Tillerson becomes very interesting. Then it isn't just a Secretary of State talking to the Russians. Then it's, we got to strike this deal in part because the boss owes so much money to these banks that this was the trade-off.
If you don't think you're talking about FBI doesn't already know what's in his taxes, come on now.
That's what you're saying. It's about the FBI, the IRS. Like I said,
it's the E word, brother. This is about extortion. This is about international extortion on international level.
I got to take a break. This isn't about the FBI or the IRS. It's about the House of Representatives. That's who it's about. I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dee calling from Arlington, Virginia. Dee, thanks for hanging on. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. We continue our discussion at the Political Roundtable about the first 100 days of the Trump administration. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dee, calling from Arlington. What's on your mind, Dee? Dee, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I have so many concerns about this president. And it's not just because I'm a Democrat, but because there's so many problems. Like, he's the kind of person that can't take blame, that can't say I did something wrong, that can't take responsibility for his actions, and he likes to shift the blame to other people. He's the kind of person that surrounds himself with people who are billionaires, who know nothing about their jobs and don't know anything about politics. They don't know anything about anything, and they're supposed to be running the government. And I feel like this government is going to be in pieces by the time it gets to the next administration. And he's the kind of person that is intimidates people, that lies, he'll say one thing and then say something else the next day. And I think he really believes the lie. And I really think that he believes what he's saying. He's somebody that confuses me and scares me at the same time. And quite frankly, I just don't know. It's like 100 days, and I'm thinking, you have 1,300 days left with this man. I don't know if I can do this.
Okay. Well, Dee, thank you so much for your phone call. Tax plan, 200 words. And
it's a pamphlet.
Yeah.
Right.
And
a page.
That's how
a page
started.
And a
it started with a page. I mean,
come
it grew
on,
in the last
come
7 years.
On,
and we got, yeah, we just have a little bit. And I think, you know, Maria, I think the big concern about the taxes is that, you know, you've got all of these fiscal conservatives on Capitol Hill, and even whether they are Democrat or Republican, and you even have some moderate folks that are, yes, concerned about, you know, the deficit. And certainly for the Republican Party, their base, the people that put them and put Donald Trump in office, do you think that they're just going to say, okay, well, we're going to have three tax brackets and we're going to cut out all of these deductions except for mortgage and deductions? That seems to me to be a formula for hurting the people that the president said he left behind, or that were left behind.
Yeah, it's this. The thing about this proposal or plan, I don't even want to call it a plan, because it was supposed to be some sort of tax reform. We really downgraded very fast to some ideas that are very vague to even explore. All we can see from that is that, or in my opinion, we threw everybody in the same bag. So yes, everybody loves to have their taxes lower, but it's going to be for the poor and it's going to be for the rich. So if the poor wants that, it's going to have to accept that the rich also get that. Mm-hmm. And eventually, yes, that's going to create a deficit. We're talking about, you know, 10 years. After 10 years, this is going to be a huge debt. And that's what we say, you know, and excuse me if I said this in Spanish, we said, es pan para hoy, hambre para mañana, which means it's food for today and hunger for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to leave the next generation with a huge debt, with a bigger deficit than we have right now, and this is all just a bet. It's like, is it going to work? They're thinking that money is going to get the economy going, it's going to create jobs, but this is just a projection. It's nothing that we can really guarantee that it's going to happen that way. Mm-hmm. In fact, economists say that it's not going to happen that way.
Yeah, we're talking at least, what, $2 trillion projected added to the deficit.
Sure. No,
under this plan. And Dr. Carr, I think the real risky thing, and Brandon, I want you to comment on this also. You know, they're talking about, what, a 10% corporate tax on those corporations that ship their, you know, their jobs or headquarters, you know, overseas. One of the things that we have learned in America is that corporations have the money and the time to figure out how to find loopholes, even when this one is closed, others open.
Absolutely. I mean,
our president already said that he's very good at it.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you know, I think we have to stop thinking about the Trump presidency as a coherent presidency. You've got a guy who never expected to be president at the top, who is about self-enrichment. I mean, he's clearly grifting for his family. You've got a Republican Party who is beholden to special interests. Democrats are as well. But this tax, quote unquote, plan, as you say, Maria, it's not really a plan, is really evidence of that. Trump doesn't care. Trump is looking for victories. I mean, he's a child. He's been signing and showing executive orders. Let's take him out for a minute. Look at this tax plan and look at who would benefit. Steve Mnuchin and his class, the billionaire class, would benefit. And you're right. Corporations have been evading this tax. So whether it's 35% or 15% is rather irrelevant. What is clear is that the structural deficits will swoon. And what we've seen, as you say, Brandon, whether it be Reagan, whether it be Bush 1 or 2, is that when you do this type of deficit increase by tax reduction, you don't see the economy grow. So when Mnuchin stands up yesterday and says, oh, the economy growth will take care of the deficit, it's like, fool, 50 years of economics has shown you this doesn't work. But that doesn't matter because the Sheldon Adersons and the Koch brothers, who are really owning these politicians, will get what they want. The grifter in chief doesn't care because he's making money hand over fist at his hotels and getting his brand from. But those are two separate things. They just happen to converge on an issue like taxes.
How do you defend that this tax plan proposal idea?
So again, it's not my plan to defend, so I'm not going to defend it. I'll comment on it, but I'm not defending it.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I'll say is that I think we all can agree that tax reform needs to happen. It's 77,000 pages. We spend about $250 billion a year trying to repair our taxes. So he's talking about simplifying our taxes, lowering the rates. I know you guys like to deflect and talk about, oh, the rich rates are being lowered. Yes, all rates are being lowered. He's breaking it down to three categories, and you know, the average income around $50,000, you're seeing a tax rate reduction. You know, it's still a plan, it's not solid right now, but about 15% drop. And so to me, what I'm more interested in, instead of looking at what other people have, I'm looking at what's going to happen to me and my family and my community. I think with wealth and trying to get economic increase in our community is about businesses and looking at the lowering of the business tax. We need to be increasing entrepreneurship in our community, and the tax plan that he put out is not a plan, it's outlined. It does help businesses, and we need to be focused on how we can get more.
How does it help businesses?
By lowering the S corps, so that 95% of black owned businesses are S corps. They're owned by the pass through companies, and he's cutting the rate 15% down for the business tax rate. So instead of complaining about let me get through my thought. Instead of complaining about how these other businesses are taking advantage of this tax code, why are we not talking about generating that kind of wealth in our community? We make up as far as all business revenues in the country.
The black community
takes in 0.5%. 0.5% of all revenues of businesses in this country go to black-owned businesses. Why are we not talking about trying to increase entrepreneurship in our community so that we can get a bigger piece of the pie? That's where the focus should be at, instead of complaining about other people who are
Maria, go ahead. Well, but I just think that's apples and oranges, because that conversation has been happening under Obama, under Bush, under Clinton. That has nothing to do.
A conversation we need to have action on it, though. But I'm saying I said it lowered taxes on the middle class. Those are one thing that I think is good, a benefit for us. And also, as far as businesses, we need to be increased entrepreneurship. And so the tax code that he's put out
ignore what he says.
No, I didn't say that.
This is the problem with it. I think yes, it's gonna benefit like the small businesses, and that's going to benefit the community from that standpoint. Sure. The problem is that because somebody has to pay taxes at some point, so we have schools and education and everything else that we need in those communities, who's going to pay for that? Who? Because there is not like a magic box where money is going to come, right? We are going to need somebody to pay taxes. If we lower everybody's taxes, how are we going to make any revenue that we're going to be able to invest in the community?
Now Democrats, liberals are concerned about deficit. They should be concerned about deficit. I agree, but no one is saying that it's not. The tax code, I guess when they scored his plan, they assumed that there'd be no economic growth. But as you can see, and you talk about,
past
Reagan's
prelude,
it was 4% growth during Reagan's term. You can say that it's not, if it was not.
Structural deficits. Do we have to quote Dick Cheney saying Reagan showed us deficits don't matter? Do we really have to do that
in here? 4% growth.
But let's, okay, but hold on. This is the history that didn't begin yesterday. You're not old enough to remember. You are. During Reagan, the average mortgage was close to 17%.
Right.
Okay. And so, the reality of it, for example, is that, 4% growth when the American dream was really, really out of reach for a whole lot of Americans because of the high mortgage rates, that was problematic. When you talk about the reduction of taxes, the last big reduction was under George Bush II. But don't forget, there was a huge change under Clinton tax reform. There was a time, again, something you may not remember, and it's interesting, and I remember it because I said, Lord, what am I going to do about it?
Right.
You used to be able to deduct your interest on your credit card debt. You used to be able to deduct the interest on your car loan. Okay. And so what the president is now proposing, he said, eliminating almost all deductions other than mortgage
and charity. And if...
And child care, but not specifically.
And right, and 401k as well today.
Right. And so what happens...
That's an interesting one.
So what happens if you are not a homeowner?
Who has
If you are not a homeowner, if you are renting, if you have no children, okay?
How about that?
You would be in trouble if something.
No, let me say this again. So again, you're looking at it in a silo. He is dropping tax rates all along. You mentioned earlier, I think Dr. Carr said, that businesses always find a way to get loopholes. And that's what the tax code is today.
Large corporations, not small business owners, brother.
Deductions, because of those deductions, because of the loopholes in the tax code. But getting rid of those deductions and lowering the rate.
No one would argue that we should close loopholes.
The working stiff.
And I'm not talking about business. And what I'm saying again is lowering the tax rate. But right now there are 7 tax brackets. He is lowering it for his average income. $50,000 a year. Again, this is still a plan. It's not solid. But looking at about a 15% drop in tax rate. So you're saying he's dropping the tax rate, but also getting rid of these deductions. So you're looking at it in a silo by saying he's getting rid of deductions.
Well,
how are you going to handle it? You're not looking at the fact that he's dramatically dropping tax rates for all Americans, particularly the upper class. The top tier is only being dropped 4%.
Well, and again, one thing's for clear. Well, you know, we really are kind of engaged in a rhetorical exercise because this tax plan, this thing isn't going
anywhere. It's outline, yeah. It's outline.
But it's, we should be very clear. Access to capital is how people build businesses. And so what you're talking about is what we've seen is that people who have have large wealth, particularly these corporations, they hold on to the money. Now, if you can't get a mortgage
or buy stock back,
that's exactly right. So you're talking about people who will not be able to get access to capital to buy a home. And Maria's absolutely right. If we're talking about draining public resources, which means you're undercutting education. Absolutely, brother.
Environmental.
Tax proceeds went up after the tax cuts.
No.
Tax receipts went down in the 90s after the tax increase.
I've got a minute left, Maria. I'm going to let you have the last word. What can we expect in the next 100 days? Look at your magic box.
Let me see.
Please.
Unfortunately, it's very cloudy. I think it's going to be more confusion. I don't think that in 100 days we're going to see anything happening that is not exactly what we're seeing right now. It's going to be shocking. It's going to be like a back and forth, a lot of changes and going in reverse, saying one thing and doing a different thing and until, you know, somebody comes together and have a different plan for this country.
Well, we will continue to watch from Capitol Hill to the White House and all the places in between. I want to thank Maria Rosman, Dr. Greg Carr, and Brandon Cooper. Thank you so much for coming in and kumbaya-ing with me tonight.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 140. For this Thursday, April 27th, I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, on Daily Drum, WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.